T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's on us. Alert the pit. Let's get it.
It's 9 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game Tonight as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game Tonight. Start of the final hour. And Max Fried is back in the dugout. He has pitched his way through 8 innings. Pitch count, we're going to find it at 84. And so, look, no need to necessarily run Max Fried back out there for the 9th inning. You got a 5-run lead. You can let one of your bullpen arms get after it. But I do think he's in position, if you want him to go out and see if he can record a complete game shutout. And again, at 84 pitches, could he put down a Maddux, a complete game under 100 pitches? We'll keep you tuned because, boy, who would have ever thought this was going to happen just 3 starts after what became a nightmare in his first and second outings. But looking very, very good right now. We'll keep an eye tuned on that. But we're also keeping an eye right now on the NBA playoffs, and that's where we begin as we head OTP.
It's time for Outside the Perimeter on 92.9 The Game Tonight.
Of course, the part of the show every single day when I take a look at some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. We'll talk through real quick what's going on currently in the association. That is the Minnesota Timberwolves hosting the Phoenix Suns. It is a 1-point Phoenix lead here at halftime. So a very close game there. You've also got the Bucks and Pacers. Bucks with Pacers with a 4-point lead. You know, the Dame time thing, back at it though, because he's got 15 points in the first quarter. But the Buccaneers, not Buccaneers, good Lord. Too many NFC South talk today. The Bucks are trailing after the first quarter by 4. And that's good. The Pacers put up 30 in the first quarter. They were like 36 in the first half the other day, something like that. They got close to it. I know they kind of got loose a little bit towards the end, but there you go. So that's what's going on right now. Last night, however, some interesting stuff, because the NBA came out not too long ago and said that they got it wrong, and that Tyrese Maxey got fouled not once, but twice. Cool, man. Like, we get that win back, or you say that with zero repercussions? Is that what you want something to do there, or just we got it wrong, but you still lost? Is that's the moral of the story here? That's where we're at? Man, don't say nothing then. Like, I'd honestly, now you're just getting people more amped up, more ticked off about it. And look, I'll be honest, like, Tyrese Maxey panicked. Like, he goes to the ground with the ball and just utterly panicked. Like, probably had an opportunity to call a timeout. I know the refs maybe weren't giving it to him, but you can't just shove it along the ground hoping it gets to someone. You got to hold on to that ball, make them foul you, make him jump ball, something. He panicked, and it's unfortunate to see. By the way, they did name Tyrese Maxey the NBA's most improved player. I see it looks like Dom holding a Kobe White prop bet.
I mean,
couldn't get it done.
I mean,
they don't base it off of one play-in round game. Okay, it's based on the season.
He went from 9-2 to 25.
That's cute. One guy became a budding leader of a team. Your guy's like fourth option. I mean, that happened to have a good game against the Hawks. Real difficult to do. I think I could drop 22 against them every once in a while. I get hot from 3-2. just kidding, by the way. I did not actually say that I think I could drop 22. I think, because that's how it comes out. You try and make a joke. Someone doesn't realize that. It's just like Atlanta radio host says Hawks defense is so pathetic he could score 20.
That's the headline.
That's not what I said. But, I mean, it is what I said, but it's like obviously in a joking manner. I don't know, man. You get yourself. I kind of do want to read that headline and be like, "You really thought that I think that? All 5'9" of me."
Hey, man, you might have a chance against Trey. That's what that's going to be the one you're going after.
Is he trying?
Halfway, let's say 50.
No, then I'm in trouble.
He's in trouble.
No, I'm in trouble.
Oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
If Trey gave 30% defensive effort to defend me, like 8 turnovers and okay. one right. of 14 shooting.
Okay.
That's where I would be at 30% Trey effort.
At 30% Trey.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you.
Yeah. At 50%,
not a chance.
There's no not one of 14. It would just be 0 for 36 with 14 turnovers.
Right.
I would not score 20 against now, against Clint Capella, if I can pull him away from the rim, you know. I'm just kidding. Anyways, so they come out and make the statement today, and it's just, is that supposed to make us feel better? It doesn't.
So I was going to say, are you part of the group that, like, kind of wants to get away with the two-minute report thing? Because, like, they started doing it a few years ago, and I feel like
I'm part of the group that wants these officials in every freaking sport to do their jobs and get it right.
That's also an option.
That's what I want.
Yeah. We're all in that camp.
And if it takes a two-minute report, if it takes the league office to look back at it and kind of further detail, here's what you did wrong. If that's how we get to a better grouping of officials, then fine. Whatever it takes. The more statistics I get from baseball about how many strikes a guy missed, how many runs it impacted that game, give me all. I don't want any defensive analytics. Give me the analytics on how bad the ump was and how much it impacted the game. That's what I want out of baseball. And we all just want the games to be officiated fairly. And same thing. What's up with the new rule in the NBA from last night? And look, LeBron can't sit there and cry about the refereeing. Like, that's not the right look either. What's up with the rule where you could slug a guy across the face, but since the ball already left his hand, it's like, no foul, man. You're good. Don't worry about it. What's that rule? I've never seen that. I've never heard of that. Until the TNT broadcast was like, well, the ball's out of his hand. I mean, I'm like, yeah, and? He almost forced that guy to have to wear a mask the rest of the series.
Yeah, I would say it's given a very much tuck rule type situation where this is a rule I've never heard before, probably won't ever hear it called again.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. This one felt super rogue because there's no, like, the tuck rule's like an in-the-moment judgment call. There's no denying he got raked across the face. Like, that's the thing for me. It's like, all right, and? So, like, but here's the thing. How many times do we see a guy after the layup gets off the fingers, the body creates contact and it's an and one?
Mm-hmm.
So are those no longer and ones? We've seen plenty of times where the ball is off the fingers and the guy's momentum just carries him into the body and it's a blocking foul. And one. I don't understand that call.
I mean, hey, we don't care about the faces, I guess.
Face
is fair game.
I've never heard that rule. I've never seen it utilized. And they're like, well, my favorite part was that when they came, and we're talking about the foul against D'Angelo Russell last night in the Lakers Nuggets game. And when they went to challenge to overturn the call, the official, the referee was like, the contact to the shoulder or whatever, wrist, hand, was deemed incidental. I'm like, what about the contact to the face? Did we review that part? Or I wonder if they deemed it that wasn't the part that they called a foul. Can they maybe that is like
that could be.
Like, well, we didn't actually that wasn't what we called the foul on in the moment, so we can't go back and change what contact was the foul.
But no, but we've seen them go back on like a coach's challenge and be like, actually, we did see that.
It was the other coach, though. He's only reviewing one thing. Can you then throw another? Can you challenge the challenge? All right, we agree that part, but what about this part? I don't know. It kind of felt like the – you know, what's unfortunate, though, is there's no denying the impact those fouls had on that game, right? Like, if Tyrese Maxey – if you do get called for that foul, they probably are able to inbounds the ball and either run out the clock or head to the free throw line and finish that game, right? Like, that – I think, again, you're never saying one call, one decision – change the game, but 76ers are winning that game if that foul's called. I have no doubt in my mind. And you know what? I won't say the same for the Lakers because it was a little bit earlier in that fourth quarter. It wasn't early in the fourth quarter, but it was a little bit removed from the end of the game that things would have time to play out differently.
Yeah,
a little bit. But still, you can't have the officials impact the game that much. And the other thing that's unfortunate is it felt like the series ended with those two losses. Like, it felt like the Lakers had an opportunity to get in this series. We're heading home. We're getting Christian Wood back. See what happens. That's gone. For Philly, Embiid's knee is only going to get worse. It felt like being the first road team to get a win in this series probably was there. And now it's not. And I know when Embiid came out and was like, we're still going to win this series. Bro, no, you're not. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah, the longer this
you have to goes, play every – you have to play all five games at this point. Or somehow if you get four in a row, all sick. Like, he can't miss a game. So, we'll see how that plays. We also have the Magic and the Cavs, kind of what we talked about the other day. Just too easy inside for Cleveland, man. And Orlando doesn't seem to have an answer. We'll see if they can turn it on at home, but I'm not buying that. We talked about the day's games going on right now. Mavericks and Clippers tonight, a good chance that Kawhi Leonard returns for the Clippers. We'll see what sort of impact that makes. The thing about the Mavericks is, who's their third guy? Like, Luka did his thing. Kyrie did his thing. Is Gafford needs to step up? Maybe it's on him. I don't know who the third guy is. And that's going to be the problem with a lot of these teams. That's going to be the problem across. And look, we got that answer last night for the Lakers, right? D'Angelo Russell stepped up, shot incredibly well, still lost. But you got LeBron and AD doing his – and again, like, the tough part is LeBron hit some killer threes down the stretch and then bricked the one that ends the game. Because if he hits that three with, like, 13 seconds left, the game's over. Like, you could probably play the foul game and all that stuff, but it's over. And so that was that. Tomorrow, Heat against Celtics. I had a very tough time finding that one interesting. Pelicans and Thunder, though, the late game tomorrow night. OKC, I mean, you talk about squeaked out a win. And I thought this would be a relatively easy series just because there's no Zion Williamson. But, man, New Orleans is just a pain in the rear. They really are. Defensively, they're just a pain in the rear. It's going to keep them in games. So we'll see how that one plays out. We are final. We are final at Truist Park. And Max Fried did remain in the game. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Maddox on our hands. That is a complete game shutout. I didn't get the final pitch count, but I think it was 95 or 96. Saw another guy do it earlier this week, a Maddox. And so... congratulations to Max Fried. All right, are we done? Are we done harping on start one and start two? Are we done harping on whatever his ERA is? Because I am. You put a performance up like that, I don't care if it's a minor league squad you're going against. That's impressive. Outstanding job by Max Fried. And Maximum Fried is back in action. All right, when we come back to the Atlanta Falcons, back to the NFL draft. What is the bottom line? What is the moral of the story? What must the Falcons accomplish when all is said and done Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? I'll tell you what I think. I also will take some of your calls on that as well. 404-726-1340. 1-800-919-0929. What must the Falcons accomplish in this year's NFL draft? We're going to discuss that next. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's go get it, baby. Let's go do it. Come on.
Sports doesn't stop at 9, and neither do we.
Let's get the show going, man.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I know I said we're going to talk Atlanta Falcons here in just a moment, and I do plan to, but I don't get to do this often, so I wanted to open up the possibility of doing so. Today's Braves game took an hour 54, and largely in part because Max Fried threw a 92-pitch complete game shutout. That's the Braves' first complete game shutout since September of 2022. Which is Bryce Elder, if you remember, against the Nationals. I think that's right. So, with a game over this early, I want to give Braves fans an opportunity to call in. Maybe you're walking out of Truist or heading home. Maybe you're at a sports bar taking in a nice little evening game. If you want to call in and talk about what we saw Max Fried do tonight, where the state of the Braves, that sort of thing, feel free. 404-726-0929. Again, at least for me, this erases the doubts and the questions about the start to the season of Max Fried. I think when I try and divvy up, like, all right, what was the outlier? Was starts 1 and 2 the outlier, or were starts 3 and 5 the outlier? I think starts 1 and 2 were the outlier. And like, I'm not going to go as far as to say it's like Max Fried sending a message. No, it's just Max Fried's doing Max Fried things. And again, I kind of joked. I didn't know he was going to go complete game shutout. But I was like, we don't need Max Fried to go 8 shutout every time out. Would it be nice? Of course, sure. But, you know, go 6 innings, 6 and a couple, 6 and 2/3, maybe even 7 complete with 1 run allowed, 2 runs allowed, 3, like, Just start to pile up quality starts, and certainly he's doing that. But again, if you want to share some thoughts on what the Atlanta Braves accomplished tonight, 404-726-0929, and not the Braves in whole, but more specifically, what Max Fried did and got back to kind of what we expect. And this is a guy that's been in the discussion for the Cy Young multiple times over the course of his career, hasn't won one, but boy, you get a couple more starts like he had tonight, and, you know, that 5 ERA, which is now below 5, will start to continue to come down and diminish. But I do want to talk about the Atlanta Falcons as well. So, again, phone lines are open. We're going to bounce between topics depending on what you guys have for me here these final 35 minutes or so. But George wants to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and maybe a little concern about the NFL draft. What's going on, George?
Hey, bro. How are you?
Doing good, man. What you thinking?
First of all, you know, let me be anonymous because I'm a Mets fan. But, dude, you guys, I'm so jealous. Like, you guys, Jesus Christ. And it seems like what happened to you last year, you guys, it's gotten your focus. But the pitching is the only little thing. But I don't worry about Max Fried. Anyway, that's very fast. I was talking about the Falcons. Listen, I'm a Giants fan, too. My girlfriend is a Falcons fan, and I live here when the Falcons do good. And the Falcons have never, been a rival of the Giants. So when I'm not rooting for the Giants, I'm rooting for the Falcons. But I'm not going to have anything to root for the Giants for a long time. Well, I mentioned it to my girlfriend, and I'm not trying to mention doom and gloom. But do you guys, and I'm certainly not trying to put anything on you. I'm not Mill from Southwest. But do you guys ever think, somehow the Falcons can falcon it up, how they found just different ways to lose. That's got to be in the back of my mind. When I mention to her, she gets mad at me. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I'm not really sure that they have, quote, falconed things up. I know we all want to, well, you didn't need to draft Bijan. I'm like, he's played 1 year. He was really good that 1 year. Now he's got a real offense with a quarterback you have to respect in terms of not loading the box. I'm not burying what Bijan was as a draft pick. And quite frankly, neither were Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts almost set the NFL record for yards by a rookie tight end when the one time he had a legitimate quarterback. And look, the health is the issue, certainly, but I don't deny how the abilities of Kyle Pitts. I think he was incredibly limited by Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder, and I'm excited to see what he does with a quarterback that knows how to use his tight end. And quite frankly, I'll say the same thing for Drake London. Drake London doesn't have to be the same type of number one as every other number one in the NFL. I don't think he has to be the guy that on any play he could beat you 64 yards. No, if he's more of the Mike Thomas, where he's got 10 to 12 catches every game, a buck 50 every game, can find you a touchdown quite often. I think it's going to look different. But I think he's going to be incredibly dangerous. You're playing 17 games this year. I honestly think in 12 of them, he could have double-digit catches. That would be my, barometer. And so I don't think the Falcons have falconed him up. I think they were on a different path and a different mindset. I think, obviously, the Desmond Ridder thing was a massive misstep, and they've tried to correct that this year. And now the question is, can they correct some of the other missteps, including not drafting a pass rusher in recent years? I think that's certainly one of them, and we'll see if that is the plan. All right, again, we're going to bounce between topics, Braves and Falcons, 404-726-0929. I don't normally get an opportunity to do this. The games normally are still going on when I sign off, but not the case today because Max Fried was absolutely stellar. Complete game shutout, and Billy is online too, wants to talk about it. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Let's talk about the Braves. Who wants to talk about the Hawks and the Falcons? I mean, they're the two worst teams here in the state of Georgia. Max Fried looks excellent tonight. My man Ozuna Pooney is looking good. He hit a bunch of home runs. And we'll just wait till Ozzie comes back. He's going to be strong for us. And just loving my Braves. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, a couple things. First, we did get some good news in regards to Ozzie Albies. Look like they expect him to be ready to be activated off the injured list as soon as he's eligible to, which would be on Friday. And I don't know, is David Fletcher have to go back down? That's kind of a bummer for him, but you're keeping Luis Guillorme, I would imagine. Kind of a bummer, but that's how it goes, I guess. When you're just, it's a numbers game and you're bringing Ozzie Albies back. So a tough break for Fletch if that's the maneuver, and maybe it's something else. I don't know exactly what they're doing with bullpen arms and numbers and all that stuff. But, yeah, look, I find the Braves incredibly interesting right now because, to me, I'm kind of shocked at how good they've been because, and I said this last week, it didn't feel like they were like that overwhelming, dominant team that it kind of felt like last year. And then I was like, well, They are number one in a ton of offensive stats. Their bullpen ERA is pretty good. They're this, they're that. And then they're the best team in the National League by two games. They're slight. I mean, I guess Cleveland is off to a good start, so the Guardians have one win more than the Braves do. They're 17-6. But the Braves are 16-6. Like, I felt like the Braves had their sixth loss like 2 weeks ago. And so it's been a really, really interesting start to the season for Atlanta, especially because, and here's part of it, like, they're not even their best selves right now. That's what should be scary about a 16-6 start for the Atlanta Braves. Like, we talked about Ozzie being gone for the past 10 days, or come Friday it'll be 10 days. We've been off of Sean Murphy, who was an all-star catcher, for the exception of one at-bat this year. Like, he's been gone since the start. And look, there's no denying what Travis d'Arnaud has been doing with this team. And even Chadwick Trunk to a lesser ability. But I don't know, man. Like, Acuna's barely being Acuna right now. Like, when he gets on first, he's Acuna. He's starting to steal a little bit. He hasn't found his power stroke. Neither has Olsen or Riley. I mean, these guys are only going to get better. The offense is only going to put up more runs, and yet they're 16-6. You've had to have three starts of a combination of Winans and Darius Vines before you're able to finally find the time to work Bryce Elder in there. Yo, it could get scary. Like, 16-6 might be the worst part of their season at 16-6. And that's pretty crazy. So very excited about that. Again, continuing to bounce back and forth ahead of the NFL draft. But man, what a gem from Max Fried. What a treat it was to watch him work, especially in the later innings, man. Like, he was mowing dudes down. Like, by the time I'd look up and we'd be back at it's tough for me to follow sometimes during the segment. And I'm like, all right, well, I see a guy got a hit. And then, like, the next time I look up, it's in commercial break. I'm like, did they take him out? Like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, he had another 9-pitch inning. That's what happened. He got a double play ball. The very next pitch, it was a fly ball, third out of the inning. I'm like, oh no, he didn't get taken out of the game. They're coming to bat again. Like, there were a couple times where I'm like, wait, is that the whole inning? It's already done? Again, an hour 54 for Max Fried. An outstanding effort today. Going back to the Atlanta Falcons draft on Thursday, we got you covered. I was talking with Mike Conley today about how he prepares for first-round coverage and kind of how he dials up the worksheets that he needs for all the prospects and team needs, all that stuff. So Atlanta Falcons coverage with Mike Conley, Dave Archer, Wes Durham live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium taking place on Thursday afternoon. John Fricke, Joe Patrick, Harper LaBelle going to have you covered on Friday for rounds 2 and 3. And then Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson on Saturday for the remainder of the NFL draft. So we're going to continue bouncing around. Joe in Los Angeles is going to take us back to football, back to the Atlanta Falcons. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen to everybody on the show. Listen to all the callers. But I'm a diehard Falcons fan. I don't care who it is. We've got to nail this pick. I'm out in L.A., like you just said. All the trash talk that I've been getting wearing my Falcons jerseys, I want to get back in that winner's circle. I don't care if it's Joe Lau. I don't care if it's Michael Penix. We just got to get back there.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Joe. I feel like they're going to get a player that is going to impact the team. Like, I don't know if I really have a preference over Latu or Verse or Turner, Byron Murphy, like Quinyon Mitchell. I'm not saying the guy's going to be a pro bowler. I don't know if he's going to be an all pro or a 15-year vet. I just think the guy they're going to bring in is going to have an impact as a rookie, and I'm excited about that. And I trust that they're going to make the right decision. And again, we talked about this yesterday. I think they're going to draft with a team need in mind, whether that's cornerback or pass rush. I understand the allure of the receiver. I just don't think it's going to happen. All right, again, back and forth we go. Let's get one more call in before we hit the break, before our final segment. Joe in Monroe heading back to the diamond. Talking Atlanta Braves. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, man, Max Fried, pitched a stellar game. And earlier you got – or just a couple callers ago, you guys were talking about, you know, some of the things that the Braves had been missing, Ozzie Albies being out 10 days and everything.
Yeah.
Man, pitching like they pitched tonight, the scary thing is, you know, 16-6, imagine if Strider was still pitching.
Yeah, and
didn't even talk about the loss of Strider. I mean, that would be scary. You know, that's just – that's when Atlanta was a dominant, like, oh, my God, we got to play Atlanta now.
Like,
so, but thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe. Can you imagine, like, dealing with the Braves and, like, it's Ronaldo Lopez, who's been outstanding this year, to open the series, and you're like, oh, man, this guy's allowed, like, one run all season, and if we don't get to him, we got to deal with Strider and Fried. Like, oh, what a nightmare. You come in, like, as a struggling batter, you're like, I'm like one for my last 18, man. Who we got that I can heat up against? Strider and Fried, never mind. Hey, coach, you mind benching me? I'll come off the bench if you want in a couple days here. I think we're good. I mean, you look at the box score for the Marlins. Luis Arraez was 2 for 4. After that, 0 for 4, 0 for 3, 0 for 3, 0 for 3, 0 for 3, 1 for 3, 0 for 3, 0 for 3. He was rolling through it. There's no doubt. About that. 3 hits, 6 strikeouts, no walks for Max Fried. Complete game shutout, 92 pitches. There you go. All right, when we come back, we're going to get some final thoughts here on the Atlanta Falcons and continue talking about the Atlanta Braves and the effort by Max Fried. The concern after 2 starts for Max Fried, I think we can officially say bye-bye to that. It's Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's hiding somewhere in the darkness waiting for nightfall.
It's live sports talk in the ATL at night. This is 92.9 The Game Tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh yeah, 92.9 The Game Tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios taking you up till 10 o'clock. And as always on Tuesdays, Jason Longshore coming up next. Going to talk Atlanta soccer tonight. And I love doing the show on Tuesday because that means I get to drive home listening to Jason do Atlanta soccer tonight. And so I know he's calling some high school action. I'm sure he'll be discussing that, but also what went down with the Atlanta United over the weekend. They got a trip to Chicago on Saturday, so we'll be involved with that game as well. Of course, I'll be here. Actually, I won't be here with Garrett Chapman. It's just going to be me for the pregame show this weekend. So we'll have some fun divvying up some comments on Atlanta United. Interesting storylines, too. So it'll be fun listening to Jason. Again, we're going to do this when we can. And just being frank, we don't have the opportunity to do it that much. But want to serve as a call-in here for the Atlanta Braves, because they have wrapped things up tonight. It was an incredibly quick game, sub 2 hours, largely in part to an absolute gem by Max Fried. 9 innings, the complete game shutout, 92 pitches. We refer to that not only here in Atlanta, but it's become known across the MLB as a Maddox. And Max Fried picks one up tonight. Mike is on the phones, 404-726-0929, wants to chat about the Atlanta Braves. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, fantastic game, complete game, very rare these days in baseball. I just would like to say, with this and the players that we're missing, we're 16-6. We took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. We swept the Arizona Diamondbacks, who were the National League champs. We swept the Astros. We're a playoff team. We took 2 out of 3 from the Rangers, World Series team. Imagine if we had our players, and we've had great people to fill in, how we may be maybe 20-1 or something like that. Just hope that it continues, and hope some of our bats that are kind of silent now, like Olson's and Riley's, eat up. But what a fantastic ride so far.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I agree with Mike, and I'm not concerned about it. Like, Riley's going to get going. Acuña, we know, is going to get going. Olson as well. If we can get them going while keeping Ozuna hot, if Ozzie can come back in the lineup, because he was red hot too. If we can come back in the lineup as hot as he was. Here's the thing. Like, the past 12 games, 10 games, whatever it was probably as gettable as the Braves are going to be all season. And you took care of business against the defending National League champs in Arizona. You took care of business against the Houston Astros, always dangerous. You mentioned the Phillies. You took care of business here at home against the defending World Series champion, Texas Rangers. You've now taken 2 of these first 3 games, an opportunity to sweep tomorrow. against the Miami Marlins. And again, that's without your starting second baseman, without your starting catcher, and without the guy that was the odds-on favorite to win the Cy Young this year. Without the defending MVP playing anywhere close to what we expect from him. This is as gettable as the Braves are going to be. And they're 10 games over 500. I mean, that's a nightmare. That's got to be a nightmare for other teams to be like, oh, the Braves starting catcher went down day one. And their ace went down day 10. And this and that. And we still can't get them. Never mind. Never mind. Forget about that. Forget I said that. Just, you can cut that. Don't worry about it. I didn't say anything about them being gettable. Isn't Joe Giglio up there at WIP, partner of our old buddy Hugh Douglas? He was like, the Spencer Strider injury is enough to turn the tide of the NL East back in the Phillies' favor. And look, I'm not saying it won't, right? Like, the Phillies are hot. The Phillies have won, what, 6 games in a row? I'd be able to tell you if my computer worked properly, but we are frozen right there. But, and look, I'm not saying that not to go Sal Licata. I'm not saying the NL East is over. I'm not saying that. But if this is as bad as the Braves are going to be, and they're 16-6, and they've won what? They had a 6-game win streak, lost one. Now they've won 8 of their last 9? I mean, okay. Yep. All right. This is as gettable as they're going to be. I mean, I can't think of a worse start for the Atlanta Braves in terms of what they've had. I'm not talking about wins and losses, but in terms of what they've had to deal with, Sean Murphy goes down day one. You lose Spencer Strider for the year. And this is as bad as it's going to get. And they are steamrolling series after series after series. Good luck. And look, ultimately, this all gets erased, right? Like, ultimately, you still have to win in October, and we get that. But like, the idea that this thing is anywhere close to being a significant step backwards, nah. And look, I wasn't saying I was worried about the Braves, but I did say, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it did last year. All right. Well, they're 10 games above 500, and we just threw a complete game shutout. And like, we're the best offense in the major leagues right now, and we don't even think our offense is anywhere close to reaching its potential. I mean, you got 3 of the top 8 MVP candidates who aren't doing much. And that's probably an overstatement, like, but they're not being themselves, right? Acuna's not himself. Like, he's still hitting in the 290s. He's still stealing bases, but he's got 1 home run. 1. He had 40 last year. He got 1. Same thing with Olsen. Same thing with Riley. They're going to come, and when they come, they're going to come in bunches. And you know what? It's going to be a lot of, like, 6-run innings. That's the thing, is they're all going to get hot at the same time. And if Ozuna stays hot, if Travis d'Arnaud stays hot, if Ozzy Albies stays hot, these pitchers are going to be like, I don't know, man. Probably shouldn't have walked Jared Kelnick on 5 pitches. That was a mistake because now it's a 2-run homer. And, Ozzy Albies got a seeing eye single. Tough break. But, oh, never mind. Ball's gone too. Riley hit one out. Forget about that one. Oh, look, back-to-back. That's cute. Matt Olson just went yard. Awesome. They beat me from the right side and the left side. It's just, I'm almost surprised. Like I probably shouldn't be. This team was obviously built to be good enough to win with certain guys having stretches of not being dominant. I think we know that. I'm still here kind of surprised that they're 16-6. I mean, part of it, and it's not just all like the Spencer Strider thing. It was the Max Fried thing early on. You're like, all right, you got to get him going. It was Morton and Sale having a couple of starts. You're like, where's this headed? And quite frankly, the most consistent guy has been Ronaldo Lopez. Now, the questions about him are not ones I ask now. The questions I ask about Ronaldo Lopez are in late August, September, and into October. You know, as a converted reliever, and he had started in the past, but converted reliever, how's that arm hold up? And part of that was why we saw the delay in bringing Bryce Elder up, and now they did, and Elder was very good yesterday too. But you're giving Ronaldo Lopez an extra off day here, and they're going to find ways to do that through the course of the season. So again, if you missed it, 92 pitches. That's all it took for Max Fried to get 27 outs. No walks, 3 hits allowed. Six strikeouts. Complete game shutout. And the Braves take home another victory. They do win the series against the Miami Marlins with an opportunity to sweep tomorrow night. And I'm blanking on who's starting for them tomorrow night. That's all right. I don't know. I lose track in the rotation. It's probably Chris Sale, but I might be like way off on that. I don't know. I think I wrote it down earlier. Now I don't remember what I wrote, but that's all right. I would look it up, but my computer is frozen. And so I got that going for me, which is nice. So there you go. All right. We talked about it earlier in the show. The idea of a scenario the Falcons maybe didn't plan for. And to me, that's the potential of whoever they think is their draft pick at 8 somehow being taken. And it could happen because the team behind them knows that's who they want and trades ahead of them, or just a variable and it someone ahead of them surprises. But if you think that Dallas Turner is your pick at 8, what happens if he goes early? Is it as simple as, all right, just default to the next pass rusher? Fine, not a problem. Does it make it more likely you trade out? A lot of people are saying, don't play around, take your guy at 8. All right, if that's your guy at 8 and he's gone, are you still convinced that they won't trade back, that just don't play around with it, or does that change things a little bit? I've said this whole time, I think they should trade back. And I'll even go a step further. I don't think this is going to be the pick, by the way. I do not think this is what happens. It's what I would do. I would trade back and take either Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. That's what I would do. I don't really trust any of the pass rushers. I don't. And look, we've seen hit pieces. We've seen prop up pieces. We've seen guys drop. We've seen guys climb. Somehow Byron Murphy's now in the discussion. Okay. I don't trust any of the pass rushers, to be honest. I trust Quinyon Mitchell to be a ready-to-go day one starter. And I trust Terrion Arnold to be a ready-to-go day one starter. I would trade back. I would take one of those corners. And I would do whatever I can to find pass rush down the road. Also, like, I know you're a little tight and strapped for cash. I would bring Calais Campbell back. I would bring Bud Dupree back. You're so far removed from having any semblance of a pass rush, even with a rookie. You got to get someone in there. And maybe you just are wholly relying on Grady Jarrett, and that's potential too. Excited to see what Grady can do healthy next to David Onyemata. But because it's my last show before the NFL draft, I'm going to be with Andy and Randy, but my last comments before the NFL draft, trade back. Take the best defensive player available, and then load up elsewhere at pass rush. hope to hit. I would take the top corner. I would spend picks 2 and 3 on pass rush and hope one of them turns into that guy. We've seen plenty of elite pass rushers fall into the second round, get overlooked, whatever. That's what I would do. I'm not sold that you're solving your pass rush problem by taking Turner or Latu or Verse. I am sold that you're solving your cornerback issue by taking Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. I feel comfortable. That's my security blanket, weighted blanket, comfort zone. That's what I would do. All right, this is Abe Gordon live from the Kia Studios here on 92.9 The Game tonight. Appreciate all the help from Dom Cherovsky today. Coming up next, it is Jason Longshore on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Until I talk to you next time, and I know I'll be with Andy and Randy the next couple days, but until I'm hosting again, I hope everyone has an enjoyable draft. Don't panic, man. Like, don't freak out if it's not the guy you want. Like, let's give it a chance. Let's let it breathe. I'm comfortable that Terry Fontenot will do the job necessary, and I leave you with that. Appreciate y'all for joining me here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.